But you pray the Lord will help us tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. Them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Father, I pray you bless your word tonight, and may we not hinder anything that's been said. And Lord, we've heard so much and got so much help already. I sure would hate to mess anything up that you've already done, but maybe, Lord, we can just add a little bit, and I pray you use what you've given to us. Help me to remember everything that I need to remember. Forget everything I need to forget. Help me to preach like it ought to be preached tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's not to mess this introduction. I want you to notice there, he said, we've been talking about the Corinthians and the church at Corinth. I mean, they kind of got raked over the coals in this conference. And the reason they got raked over the coals is because Paul raked them over the coals. But I want you to remember something. In spite of all of that, the negative things that have been said, and every one of them's right, I want you to see this. He said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Let me remind you, that's not a denominational title. That's a term of ownership. What I would just want you to see is we talk about this matter of charity. This thing called church, it's a big deal. The church of God, which is at Corinth. You can say the church of God, which is at Cook. That may be all the good churches in town. I don't know. I'm not from here. Don't know anything about the rest of them. But here, Pilgrim Baptist Church, I believe this is a church of God. I believe you're involved in something. I believe you're a part of something right here that's a big deal. That's very important. I read in Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, that Jesus said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. By the way, if Peter's your rock, you've got a sorry church. I don't have time to talk about that. But he said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. You're part of something tonight. That's the only thing that Jesus promised, the gates of hell would not prevail against. It's a big deal. I read in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, take heed therefore unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, and feed the church of God which is among you, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bought and purchased possession, purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a big deal. And I read over there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he speaks to those seven churches. And you know, did you notice there at the end of Revelation over there, he says that what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It looks to me like God's speaking to the churches. God's speaking through the churches. And if you want to hear what God's saying, you better get in church. But in chapter 2 and 3 there, we see seven churches. And if you read through there, it doesn't take very long to notice these are not perfect churches. They've got problems. They've got issues. The Lord says there's some things I like about that. And what y'all are doing, and some things I do not like about what you're doing. But I want you to see what the Lord represented them as. He said that John saw the Lord among seven golden candlesticks. I looked up those seven golden candlesticks, and most likely they were something about 3 feet tall. And if something is 3 feet tall and it's made out of solid gold, brother, there's no telling how many millions of dollars that thing would be worth. What the Lord is telling us right there is Pilgrim Baptist Church, although it may have its problems. Say, preacher, how do you know it's got problems? Well, I know it has because it's got people in it. Amen. If we could have a church without people, we could have a church without problems, but I don't know how that would work out. I don't think you can do that. And so, listen, I know it's got issues, and I know things come up, but it's something that's of great value and a great word in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a big deal. And then I see that he that walketh among the seven golden candlesticks, that's where the presence of Jesus is. He didn't say, I was walking amongst the deer stand. Amen. He didn't say, I was walking across the bass pond. I know he did walk on water. He's not going to walk out there on water and talk to you while you're out there fishing on Sunday morning. Y'all be at the house of God and say amen right there. Amen. He didn't say how that I was walking in the midst of the golf course. He didn't even say I was walking in the midst of the online Zoom-in thing and the Facebook and all the rest of it. But he said he was walking in the midst of the goat of those seven golden candlesticks, which were the seven churches. You want to be where Jesus is at, be at the church. I'm just trying to simply remind us of this, that this thing we call church, Pilgrim Baptist Church, it is a big deal. The church of God, which is that part, even though it had its problems, even though it had its issues. Tell you what, that barbecue got thirsty. Amen. A hot dog. That's what we had tonight. But boy, I wanted to eat one or two more, but I was preaching tonight. So I restrained. I exercised some charity on my liberty. Amen. All right. But I'm telling you, brother, this don't take this thing lightly. And we talk about this thing called charity. It's the only way a church can work. The brother Crotch mentioned, what was that, Frozen First Church of the Living Room or something? We've got that, and then we've got Bedside Baptist Church up there in our country. So old Pastor Pillow, he runs that Bedside Baptist Church. And there's a lot of folks that's going to the First Frozen Church of the Living Room, and that's going to the Bedside Baptist Church with Brother Pillow every Sunday because they don't have enough charity to get along. In other words, they've got too good for the church. They can sit here and pick out all the flaws. And I promise you, brother, anybody, you get your magnifying glass out and you look around, you're going to find some flaws. And they may be starting behind the pulpit, amen. But we're going to have to exercise charity. And that's the only way we can get in on this thing and value this thing and put the right priority on this thing that we know of as the church of Jesus Christ. The church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Well, with that being said, look on over at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I don't believe Brother Brown conflicted at all with or got or plowed in my tater patch. But I believe, Brother, you said some things that I just won't have to say. I agree with everything that he said. Amen. And so you just figure in some of what he said right there to what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to have to say it. All right. Will that be okay? All right. We're all just plowing along together and try to be a help. All right. So here we go. Chapter 8, verse number 1 now is touching things offered unto idols. We know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Knowledge puffeth up. I want to say again what I said last night. We saw there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that in the last days, men are going to be heady. They're going to be high-minded. We see they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I read in the book of Daniel that knowledge shall increase. I think we're long on knowledge today. We've got a lot of know-how, even in our Bible-believing circles. We've got a lot of knowledge of the Bible. But you know what he said here? He said, knowledge puffeth up. I looked up that word puffeth right there. Knowledge puffeth up. I don't have anything deep to add to what it says. I mean, it just means what it says. It talks about an exhaling of the breath. Now, any of y'all ever had a birthday party? And you probably, some of you kids, maybe you get a little old thing of rubber about that long, about that wide. There's not much to it. And you put your lips to it and your hot air, brother, you puff that thing up and you blow it up. That's what it's talking about. to be puffed up. We used to have, for missionaries at our church, we had a bed there. We got a place they can stay. But if they had some kids or something, we bought an air mattress. I figured out that's a bad idea. You know, an air mattress is puffed up. Brother, you blow that thing up and it looks good. They always said, man, that thing will let down about halfway. I'd wake up and have to blow her up again. I mean, it'd go down on me. And then finally, any of y'all know the Bach family? Missionaries up there in Alaska, one of them Bach boys, he stepped on it and busted the thing. And he come to me, he felt all bad and said, I'll pay for it. I said, brother, that thing needed to go anyhow. And so we got some cots, amen. But that's an air mattress. It's just puffed up. Blowed up. Like about a hot air balloon. I've never ridden in one. You ever seen that? I mean, here's a balloon, fellas, floating along through the air. That hot air balloon reminds me of some preachers preaching. It gets up by hot air and has no idea where it's going or how to let down. I hope mine's not that way tonight. But I've heard some preaching like that. Then there's the old, you've seen this old boy, this fella out in front of the used car lot. Hey. I mean, big old tall, skinny fella. And brother, that wind will get in him. And he doesn't have any backbone. He doesn't have any guts. But he'll flop over on this side for a while. And then the wind will change. And he'll flop over on this side. I've seen some preachers that way too. I mean, he'll just flop every which way. And all in the world that he is puffed up. He's blown up. That's all. It's just a bunch of air. That's all it is to it. This term puffed up, all but one time in the Bible, in the New Testament, it's addressing the church at Corinth. They had a problem with being puffed up. Paul said in chapter 4, verse number 6, they're puffed up one against the other. Chapter 4, verse 19, he said, there are those that puffed up. And he said, I'm coming not to know the speech, but to know the power of them. Then Colossians, the one time it's not addressing the church at Corinth, Colossians 2:18, he talks about a man being vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. By the way, let me remind you, it's not one of my assigned verses, but charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Puffed up. But then he said, but charity edify. He looked the word edify up, and what it means is to be built up. It has to do with architecture. It has to do with building. Let me give you an example right here. We're standing in this church house. There was a time, I don't know how long this place has been built, but there was a time years ago that this place was nothing but a pile of lumber, a pile of bricks, a pile of sheetrock, a big old roll of carpet. We built a building. I just got done with that less than a year ago. I know a little bit about building a church house. A pile of shingles, a pile of metal. And so you had all of these materials. You had all these different things laid out there, out in the yard, the Lowe's or Home Depot, whoever you use, they'll deliver this stuff. They'll drop it off a truck. And you got a pile of materials here. You'll have a pile over here and a pile over here. And so what you do, you get your crew in and you begin to edify that building. And so you take those bricks and you begin to put the mortar on and you get them stuck together. You put the board, you do the frame, and you nail those boards and put each one in its place and nail it up. And then, you know, on and on you go. You get up on the roof, you put the roof on, you lay the carpet. What is that? We would call it building. We would call it construction. But that's the same word that Paul's using here when he said charity edified, charity built up. Charity build it up. So with those thoughts in mind, I want to talk to you tonight about blown up or built up. And charity's going to make the difference. As we're trying to do something here at Pilgrim Baptist Church, and we're trying to do something and be involved in this church. And when I talk about edifying the church, building up the church, I'm not talking about growing in numbers. If we grow in numbers, praise the Lord. But there's a lot more kinds of growth than how many seats are occupied in the pew. Charity edify. Charity buildeth up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, And verse number 24 talks about that body being tempered together. Now, let me say this. You can blow up quicker than you can build up. If this church was inflatable, you've seen those bouncy houses the kids like to bounce in? If this church was inflatable, it'd be mighty easy. Just have her sitting out here, hook it up to that hot air machine, brother, start pumping that air, and that thing, it'll just slowly rise on up. It takes a long time to build something up. It takes a lot more time, it takes a lot more effort to build up than to blow up. But I want to tell you something, you can deflate a whole lot quicker. Something that's blown up. And you can destroy something that's built up. That birthday balloon's full of your hot air. Stick a pin in it. And it's gone. That hot air balloon, make you a little slice. Take your knife out. Make a little slice. And buddy, she's coming on back. Stick a pin in that. And that air mattress, and the old boy's going to be sleeping on the ground before the night is over with. You let the air out of that bouncy house, brother, and it's going to come back. It's mighty easy to come along and let the hot air out of something that's been puffed up or blown up, but something that is by charity edified and built up, it'll stand the test of time. So let's talk about that. Here at Pilgrim Baptist Church, are you blowing up or are you building up? Knowledge puffeth up, charity edifies. Let me ask this number one about our actions. Is it about me or the ministry? It's already been said several times during the meeting, it is not about me. It's about Jesus. And amen, he's to have the preeminence in the church. Not your family, not my family, somebody's opinion or somebody's way, but unto him be glory in the church. It's all about him. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. Now that brings us right here to chapter number 8. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the brother said the issue here is meat sacrificed to idols. I don't imagine that's a big issue in cooking. We don't really relate to that very much. But it doesn't matter. The principle that Paul's laying out here for these Corinthians applies to a wide array of issues. And so what you have here is Corinthians that say, I know, there's that knowledge, it puffeth up. I know that an idol is nothing in this world. I mean, an old Buddha, brother, he just a fat statue with a big old belly stuck out there. That's all he is. He doesn't bother me. There's nothing to that, nothing to worry about. And so I'll go down here to the shambles and I'll get some of this meat that sacrificed to idol. I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what kind of testimony, what kind of example it set. I've got my liberty, and it's all about me. I'm puffed up, and so I'm not going to worry about the ministry and being built up. What a difference. What a difference it makes. Let's right here in verse chapter 8, look with me. Look with me at verse number 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at me in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. That'd be a good thing to remember, wouldn't it? When we're dealing with each other in the church, or even when we're dealing with sinners outside of the church, we deal with people. Remember, that is a soul for whom Christ died. Amen. Well, that'll change the perspective, won't it? Through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Can I tell you something, brother? If it looks wrong, it is wrong. This fellow, he's not worshiping an idol. He's not bowing down to an idol, but he's going into the idol's temple to maybe get a free meal, maybe get a discount. I don't know exactly what. But Paul said, hey, it looked, the Bible does say, abstain from all appearance of evil. So many things we could apply that to. One came to my mind. There's a woman in Proverbs chapter 7. She's adulterous, but as far as what the Bible tells us, though, she's not a harlot. But the Bible said there that she was dressed with the attire of a harlot. Well, I've got my liberty. I'll dress any way I want. I can wear what I want and still go to heaven. Yeah, you, if you're saved, you can. But you sure aren't having charity. And you may not be a harlot, but if you're dressing like one, it's wrong.
Amen.
Well, I mean, so many things we could, applications we could make right there. But abstain from all appearance of evil. All right, look at chapter 10, verse number 20. Think about the fellowship angle of things. But I say that the things which Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy, or are we stronger than He? Brother, I've got liberty. I'd go back to the hotel room tonight and watch anything I want to watch. But if I'm sitting down and watching adultery and watching cussing and having holding hands with a hellish Hollywood and having fellowship with them, I'm wrong. It's not charity.
Right. Amen.
I can listen to my so-called Christian rock and roll and CCM and contemporary and all of that stuff. Say, well, the words are good. Yeah, what few of them there are. 7-Eleven, you know, 7 words 11 times. And what few of them you can understand. But it's the same beat of the world and the same beat of rock and roll and the same beat of immorality and all the rest of it. And I'm having fellowship with devils, even though I sprinkle in a few Christian words. It's not all about me. It's about the ministry.
Amen.
Look at chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
Yeah.
I've got perfect liberty. I don't know, the brother pastor might not let me. But I've got, in the Lord, I've got liberty to get up here tonight dressed like my son in a pair of bib overalls. Wouldn't be anything wrong with that. I wouldn't be any less close to God than I am now. Wouldn't affect my relationship with God. But that is not, it'd be a lot more comfortable without this old choker. I hate these things, amen, don't you? But I wear it because it's expedient. Maybe you'll listen at me a little better if I wear the cotton picking thing. Amen. All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but all things edify not. I'm not up here tonight to dress however is comfortable to me. I'm up here to dress in a way that as I'm delivering the Word of God, standing in this sacred place behind the sacred desk, representing the Word of God to the people of God, I want to dress up just like I would if I was going to see the president or be an ambassador of this country and represent this country in another place. I'm not one of these that cuts the grass in a suit and tie. If you are, I'm not against that. But I'm just saying there's some things that we may have liberty to do otherwise, but it's going to help us. It's going to be expedient. It's going to help us with the gospel and our testimony if we'll do some things.
Yes,
sir. Yeah. Let me ask you this. So many times I hear this, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Let me ask you a question. What's right with it?
Amen.
Don't you think we'd be a whole lot better off if we quit asking what's wrong with it? I don't see anything wrong. I think a lot of times they say I don't see anything wrong with it because they're blind to start with. But if we start asking what's right with it, how's this going to help the gospel? How's this going to help the ministry? How's this going to help the church? Listen, it's been said, I'm going to say it again, it's not all about me, it is about the ministry. Let me just give you a little silly illustration here. In our church, we've got a family that drives an hour and a half, and they'll stay. They'll come Sunday morning, they'll stay all Sunday afternoon. They'll be there Sunday evening for our 6 o'clock service. And so I said, why don't we move our evening service back to 5, just take an hour off of their afternoon, get them home a little bit earlier, you know, try to make it a little better for them. And so we changed it back to 5 o'clock. Boy, they appreciated that. Some of the older folks that don't like to drive after dark, they appreciated it. And I got a lot of good feedback on it. One fella said, now he was just kidding, but I mean, he was serious, but he wasn't, you know how it is. He said, preacher, he said, I don't like this new time. He said, it cuts into my nap time on Sunday afternoon. But he laughed. He said, but preacher, I'm not going to leave the church over. You know what that is? That's charity. In a small thing, say, hey, it's not all about me having an hour longer nap, but there's other folks that have other needs and other schedules and other things. This may not help me, but it's going to help the ministry. It's going to help the body. I'm going to exercise charity and realize it's not all about me. It's about the ministry. And then verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Can you watch that to the glory of God? Can you listen to that to the glory of God? Can you wear that to the glory of God? Can you go there to the glory of God? I believe I could eat one hot dog tonight to the glory of God. Give me the strength to get up here. But I don't believe I could have had three. Amen. To the glory of God. He said, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's not about me. It's about the ministry. Let me say number two. Not only our actions, but our authority. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Blown up or built up? Puffed up or built up? Is it about me or the ministry? I'm talking about our attitude tonight, our action in the church. Is it about me or the ministry? Number two, our authority. Is it going to be strife or submission? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 8. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority. Boy, some of these recovering fundamentalist outfits been around today. By the way, I was raised in this way. I was born in this way. I don't have anything to recover from. I have no regrets. If Lord will help me, I'll die in this way. Amen. But if some of that outfit had been around, they'd say, what a pastoral authority freak old Paul was. He said, I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for your destruction. I should not be ashamed. It's already been mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, the evangelist, the pastor, the teachers are God's gift to the church. And God gave them authority in the church. You know, you say, preacher, how well should I submit to the pastor? Well, he uses the same word in Hebrews chapter 13. Obey them that have the rule over you. Talking about pastors. That's the same word he uses in Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let me ask you something, parents. How good do you want your children to obey you? That's how good you ought to obey your pastor. Amen. I don't understand those men that abuse authority and all that. And that's not right either. That's another subject for another day. But I'm telling you, God gave the pastor authority for the edification, for the building up of the church. I know you say, preacher, that old pastor of mine, I mean, he gets up there and he preaches against everything that's fun, and he preaches against everything I like, and he steps on my toes, he rubs my hair the wrong way, and he's against anything that's fashionable or cool or hip. I mean, he just an old stick in the mud and an old putty-duddy. He's so far behind the times, he'll never catch. I like what the one fellow said. He said, I'll never catch up because I'm heading in the opposite direction. Amen. How about you say, he's on my back all the time about something. I want to tell you what God put him up there for is for your edification, for your building up, and for the edification of the body. So you can do the work of the ministry. Do you know sometimes it takes a lot of charity to submit to authority? Any of you women say amen right there? Is it ever hard to submit to that old boy you're married to? You're supposed to. Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it takes a lot of charity. And sometimes in the church you say, that pastor, I wouldn't have done it that way. Well, sometimes if I went back, I wouldn't have done it that way either if I had to do it again. I don't like the way he handled that. Well, and sometimes I don't like the way I handled it either.
You're right, brother.
Sometimes, I mean, I pastor folks that's older than the Lord, brother. Brother Jimmy Moore's been preaching a lot longer than I have. He helped me get started in the radio ministry and everything. But I tell you what, God's given him the grace to do is have the charity to submit. As an evangelist sent out of our church. Amen. And I'd have said that if it wasn't here tonight. Amen. I'm just telling you, it's not always easy. I understand that. But that's the way it has to be. And God has given authority to parents. God has given authority to police officers. I know sometimes that may be abused in government and so forth. But the Bible in St. Romans chapter 13, that the leaders, the authorities that be are ordained of God to thee for good. They're there to reward the good and punish the evil. Better watch out how you talk to that police officer. You know, all that kind of stuff. I know, like, hands up, I can't breathe and stuff. Well, if you'd have done what you're supposed to do, put your hands on the side of the car and shut up, you wouldn't have had that problem, would you? There's authority. You're not always going to agree with it. There's going to be times you might have a better idea. There's going to be times that it's going to cut against the grain, and you're going to say, well, I don't think it ought to be that way. You know what you ought to do? You ought to thank God you're not in a position of responsibility that goes along with that authority. James said, my beloved brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, here's the deal. I'm practicing what I'm preaching tonight. Brother Jimmy Fortunato graciously calls me up and asks me to come be a part of this conference. He said, preacher, I want you to preach 45 minutes. I'm watching the clock to make sure I don't run past that. And he said, preacher, we're going to talk about charity. We're going to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 2. And I want you to take that verse 2 there the first night. And you know what I don't have to do? I don't have to pray about that. Most time I pray about what I'm going to preach. I ask God, Lord, please tell me what to preach. I don't have to pray. God already told me what to preach when God's man told me what to preach. Now guess what? If he missed the will of God, and I don't think he did, I think this meeting, Brother Sammy Allen would say, right in the perfect will of God. I believe it is. But if he missed it, if God's will, you know, last year we had the Calvinism conference. If, and I'm not saying it was, but if God's will this year was that, be like Fox News, fair and balanced, and have the Armenian conference, you know, and talk about the other side of that. If he missed it, and I don't believe he did, I'll say that again, but if he missed it, and I get up here and preach what he told me, guess who's responsible? It's not me, it's him. I'm off the hook because I'm in submission to the authority that's as far from Wednesday night through Friday night, Brother Jimmy is my pastor. Whatever he say, go. I don't say, I'll preach till God tells me to. God already told me to. Amen. I'm not preaching anything I don't practice. I was at one camp meeting, and they had a green light up there. Gave you 30 minutes, and when it got to 25, it got yellow. And when it got to red, you wrapped her up. And I said, well, what if you go past the red? He said, then the blue lights come on. Amen. Authority. How you gonna respond to authority? It will blow up or it will build up this church according to how you obey. Let me show you what happens when you don't. You see, these last few chapters of the book of 2 Corinthians here is all about the Corinthian church. They're questioning Paul. They're questioning his authority, his apostleship, his style, his manner of speaking. I mean, the very ones he helped and loved and won to Christ and sacrificed a year and a half of his life teaching them the word of God there in Acts chapter 18. You can read about that later. Now they're turning on him and they're questioning everything about him. Let me show you what that leads to. Chapter 12 and verse number 19. Again, thank ye that we excuse ourselves unto you. We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear lest when I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. You know why sometimes you have problems with your pastor? Because you're such as you ought not to be. Lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. You know, that's a perfect description of a lot of independent Baptist churches tonight. And you know why? They cannot, will not exercise charity in submitting to authority. And so it's strife, not submission. Let me hurry on. Number one, our actions. Is it about me or the ministry? Puffed up, blown up, or built up? What about authority? Is it strife or submission? Blown up or built up? Let me say lastly, we find in 1 Timothy chapter 1, our arguments. Is it division or doctrine? 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. There's some things no wiggle room on. You come after this book, I'll fight you. You come after salvation by grace, I'll fight you. You come after once saved, always saved, I'll fight you. Teach no other doctrine. And some hills worth dying on. By the way, I think Brother Ron preached about that same thing at our place just a few weeks ago. But good, help us. Teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now in the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. For some, having swerved aside, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. What's vain jangling, preacher? Is that helping you any tonight? Is that a blessing? Is that building you up? Is that edifying? You know what that is? That's vain jangling. By the way, Paul said over there, we've already looked at it. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's endless. Endless genealogies which minister questions. We're going to take the shot and we're not going to take the shot. You know, we've got folks in our church that have taken it. We've got folks in our church that would probably die before they would take it. But amen, that doesn't mean we can't get our heads together and our hands together and our hearts together, win some souls there in Lyles, Tennessee, send out some missionaries and edify the church and build up the church. But instead of arguing about a cotton picking shop. Brother already mentioned Christmas trees. Well, he visits our church just every once in a while. And I'm just telling you, this stuff's endless. Just every once in a while, he came up to me. I was at the place of business where he works. He came up to me. He said, "Preacher, you know a lot about the Bible." He said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "All right." He said, "Is the earth round or flat?" I said, "I don't care."
Hey.
I said, "Man, I don't watch the Bible." And I'm not always just harsh or bold or plain or whatever. But I said, "I'll tell you what the Bible does say. It does say you're supposed to be in church every time the doors are open." He said, "That's right, preacher. I'll see you Sunday." And sure enough, there he was. Now, he hadn't come back since. But it was got him there one time anyway. Is the earth round or flat? I mean, I've got my opinions on that, and we're probably on the same page, but guess what? It really does. If the world is flat, let's get the gospel across it. If the world is round, let's get the gospel around it and quit fussing and fighting about some of this endless stuff that will divide and splinter and split the body of Christ. We were talking to some of the preachers. One of the meals, I forget exactly who, but I asked, "Has anybody ever left one of your churches?" You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say just about almost never, maybe never, has anybody ever left your church over the King James Bible, over a doctrinal issue, over salvation by grace through faith, over the deity of Jesus Christ, over the Trinity, over something. No, it's always about something that's so stupid. And when somebody asks you, "Why did so-and-so leave?" you're almost embarrassed to tell them this.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because of lack of charity. And so our arguments have turned into division rather than doctrine. I guarantee we'd sit down with every one of you brethren and get to slicing hairs until we got to slicing them fine enough that you didn't slice that hair the same way I did. That's where charity comes in. There's so much knowledge puffed up. You know where they get all this knowledge? On the internet. Now, an old fella, I think I've got a... What time did I start? I think I've got a minute or two. There's one old boy, he had a bunch of hogs, and he turned his hogs out, had them out in the pasture. And, brother, he'd go out and sue those hogs at feeding time. And those hogs would come running, and he'd feed them and everything. Well, that one winter, he got a real bad case of the laryngitis and couldn't sue anymore. And so he went to taking a stick, and he beat on the fence post with that stick. At feeding time, and the hogs got that figured out. They'd come and running. And, that worked good for a while. Well, after a while, he began to notice that his hogs were falling off. And that they weren't they weren't putting on weight, and they were losing weight. They were looking run down and poor. And he didn't know what was going on. He looked out, began to watch and observe, and he began to notice that here would come an old woodpecker, brother, and land on this side of the hog lot and go to pecking, and them hogs would take off and running. And then here come another old pecker wood, as we might say down in Hickman County, and he'd go to pecking on this side of the hog lot, and they'd come running on this side. No feed for them. That's what we've got in the religious world today. We've got a bunch of religious woodpeckers that are pecking every which way and making a bunch of racket. But when the boots come, they don't have anything for them.
Right there.
And they've got us fighting about a bunch of stuff that does not matter.
Right.
Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. What about it, Pilgrim Baptist Church? We're going to build it up. We're going to blow it up. What about it? Think about that. Knowledge puffeth up. Let me give you one more. I'm coming down on the runway now. But there's a fella that took a college course and or was working on his college degree. He was coming down to the end of that thing. He was ready to graduate, and he needed one more credit. He'd already studied everything he wanted to study. And so they had a class on birds. I'm sure there's a scientific name. I don't know what it is. He said, that looks easy. I'll just go to that class. I'll study it and get my credit and graduate. Well, that professor was sick and tired of people doing like that, thinking birds was easy, so they come to his class and didn't care a thing about it. And so one day, come down to test time, and he said, now here's the test. He said, I've got a list of birds. He said, I've got their picture on this side, and I've got a picture of their legs on this side. And he said, you've got to draw a line between each bird and identify and match him up with his legs. And he said, if you miss one bird and don't identify him by his legs, I'm going to fail you. I'm tired of you jokers coming in here goofing off in my class and not taking it serious. And so this old man, that made this old boy mad. I mean, he's that close to graduating, and now he's getting set up like this. And so he started looking at it. Boy, it just didn't make any sense. And he said, Professor, I tell you what, this is ridiculous. And the fella said, you just sit down and match up them bird legs. Oh, he studied that in a few more minutes. He said, Professor, this is crazy. I'm protesting. He said, I'm not going to have that talking out in my class. He said, young man, what's your name? And old boy pulled up his britches leg and said, you tell me, smarty. Preacher, what in the world does that have to do with charity? What does that have to do with knowledge puffed up, charity edified? I'll tell you what it has to do with it. Sometimes we're not as smart as we think we are. Sometimes we don't know as much as we think we do. And that charity will humble us, and even some of the things we do know, help us not to be puffed up about, and help us to build up the ministry, to humble ourselves and exercise charity in the pew, and charity with the pulpit, and charity with each other, and realize that we're involved in something great here, and we're involved in something that's concerned with the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and concerned with something that's busy about winning souls and sending out missionaries. It's a whole lot bigger than we are. We'll get involved in building it up instead of